Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
This is a very nice football weekend because we had the excellent start up on Thursday night, Chiefs and Chargers, in a game that Kansas City absolutely gave away. I mean, listen, you take nothing away from the Chargers. They played well, good comeback, all that. But, I mean, you're up by 14 points with 7 minutes to go. You're at home. You got that kind of a dynamic offense. You have to figure out a way to close it. Right? You have to. In fact, every single team that's been in that position this year has done so. But Kansas City couldn't do that the other night. And I don't know if you feel like this, and we'll get into all the locals, of course, but just a quick note on the game Thursday. I don't trust Andy Reid. I do not trust Andy Reid in a big spot. And I know, and he's wonderful. Mahomes is a wonderful player. But you know what? I know something about that Chiefs team. I just don't trust him. So we'll see if they get the one seed. If they don't get the one seed, forget it. Right, it all banks on them to get the one. You know they'll beat the Raiders week 17. So the question is, do they win in Seattle next week? And the question is, does Seattle win their game tomorrow? Because they're coming off a big-time emotional victory last week. So do they find a way to win tomorrow? Let's keep their head above water. So a lot going on in the NFL. So that was Thursday. Now today, and I love this. I mean, could not love it more. Not even great games, but just the fact that you get these standalone NFL games today. Well, 2:30 here on 98.7 is the pregame. And then 4:30 kickoff, the Jets and the Texans. And, you know, I think the Jets fan after last week, and the phone lines are open, by the way, 800-919-3776. We'll get to the Knicks and obviously the Jets and the Giants and Beckham and this injury, which is very, very strange. And he continues to come out with these, you know, the coach says, we don't want to make our injuries public. And he goes on these Facebook Live things or whatever this series is that he's doing and makes it public time and time and time again. You know what I like about Shermer? I know we're all over the place, so we'll get back to the Jets in a sec. What I like about Shermer is he's the first guy, inclusive of Tom Coughlin, mind you, that has stood up to Beckham. Because he's probably the first guy that feels conviction in the fact that his job is his. That I don't have to win 9 games this year to keep my job. That I don't have to win. That if I go 5-11, you know what? Still my job next year. And even Coughlin, he'll be in the Hall of Fame, but even Tom Coughlin knew that at the end, he needed to win games. And you know what? He was right. And God knows Ben McAdoo would never get in the way of Odell Beckham. And Shermer's the first guy to kind of get in the way and say, enough. You know, we don't make these things public, and I'm sick and tired of this, and act like a leader and all this kind of stuff. So 800-919-3776. But back to the Jets for a quick second. I think you have to be kind of on a high when it comes to the Jets. I think you have to be very excited after what you saw last weekend. Look, it's been a tough run. It's been a disappointing season. It has, in fairness. It's been disappointing because you didn't expect the Jets to be this bad. You thought they'd be what? I mean, the expectation was, I remember being on the show on Humpty Canty Rothenberg and Chris and Rick sitting there saying, this could absolutely and should be the second best team in this division. Well, they're not. And to be honest, it's not even really all that close. And maybe they're on par with Buffalo. Miami's clearly better. Miami beat the Jets twice in the regular season. And New England will do the same. So the question now is looking towards the future. And I think the future is bright. Now, I don't think that the current roster is bright. And I don't think the current head coach is bright. And I don't mean that he's not bright. I just mean that the future of him is not bright. But do I look at the Jets next year and say, I'd buy stock in that? I would. And I think that's the one thing that the Jets have going for them. That maybe the Giants don't. Is that you have the young quarterback, and you know, I think you know, that he's going to be a really good player. And that, in this league, is half the battle. Yeah, look, Isaiah Crowell, Elijah Maguire, Trenton Cannon, right? These don't move the needle. Robbie Anderson, Quincy Enunwa, Chris Herndon, they don't move the needle. I'm not saying that Enunwa's not an NFL player and Herndon can't be a decent player, but they don't have really anything at the skill position, which makes you say, you know what? I like that. Darnold and that and this piece along the offensive line, that, no, they really don't. You know, and he's really been hamstrung this year. And has it been growing pains? It's supposed to be growing pains. You find me the quarterback that comes in year one and lights it up and has a great NFL career. It's very infrequent. Dak Prescott was really good right away. Ben Roethlisberger was really good right away. You don't get a lot of them, people. So the fact that this guy has growing pains and has had moments where he struggled this year is fine. It's not a big deal. And I don't know how you could look at the Jets, and I really mean this. And, of course, the game today, 4:30 right here, 98-70 ESPN against Houston, and you might get run out of the building. Listen, Houston's a talented football team, and Deshaun Watson's a talented player, and their defense has talented guys on it. We know that. But it's not about this year. All this is about is what do I see from Sam Darnold and how bright is the future. Now, is McKagan the answer at GM? I think he's going to be your GM. Time will tell if he's the answer. Is Todd Bowles the answer at head coach? I would say no. I'd say he's not going to be back. But you know what? Look at this team. They have a ton of money. We think they have the quarterback. They're going to have a top five pick. You should be excited about the Jets. Not today. You know, it's rainy, miserable. Might get run out of your own building. Is that a positive? No. But the future looks positive. So that's the Jets. And we can pretty much say the same. We believe with the Knicks. And the Knicks, and again, I've said it, and I argue with the guys on my show all the time. I don't want any wins. Just lose, lose, lose. I don't want to get blown out. I don't want to get embarrassed. And last night, I guess to my chagrin, the Knicks come out, and they fall down by 20, which I don't want. And then they fight, and they scrap, and Moutier has another one of these games, and they come back, and in overtime, they beat Charlotte. But what I do like is I'm starting to see Kevin Knox as a legitimate NBA player, and that gives me hope. So when you look at the Knicks, and again, do you really want to win games? I mean, I don't. There are those that say the odds are so minuscule to be 2 or 5. Let me just win some more games and be 5. I'm saying, you know what? There's 2 studs in this draft, at least. I want the best chances to land one of those 2, either Barrett or Williamson. And right now, odds are I'm not going to get it, but we have a long way to go. Knicks with another very winnable game on Monday. They're at the Garden against the worst team in the NBA, the Phoenix Suns. So last night, what did you see? You saw Moutier have another one of these games where you watch him and you think, maybe he is a part of the future. Maybe he is a piece of this team. I mean, listen, I'm not saying he's great, and I'm not building around him for the next 5 years, but you can't deny that last night, Emmanuel Moutier was nothing shy of sensational. He was. And you see glimpses of that. Like, you see every, I don't know, I don't even know how frequently, every now and then, how good he is and the potential that's still there and why he was a top 10 pick. And last night was one of the nights that you watched him. You said, oh, my God, like he's good. Now, you don't see that all the time. And more frequently than not, you see the Moutier and you say, oh, God, this is the reason that Denver said thanks, but no thanks for moving on from you. But last night, and I wish he could bottle that, he was absolutely sensational. Now, do I look at him as a piece for the future? I don't look at him as the point guard of the future. Do I think he could come off the bench and play 15 minutes a game on a good team? Yeah, maybe. But the thing that I really like now, and late free throws withstanding, because, God, those were some brutal free throws. So Knicks are up 126-124 in overtime. Kevin Knox is fouled and goes to the line for 2. He wasn't close. Like, he looked like either he was, because he played a lot. I think he played 40 minutes last night. He looked like he either had just physically absolutely nothing left or he was nervous beyond belief because he put up 2 just horrendous free throws, missed them both. Kemba Walker gets the ball in his hands. You're like, oh, God, this is going to happen. But you know what? Knicks come up with the block down on the other end and they win this one 126-124. But wins and losses have really nothing to do with the point that I'm trying to make. The point that I'm trying to make is I finally feel, and I felt like this for a couple days now, that Kevin Knox is a legitimate basketball player. And that's the nice thing about where the Knicks are this season. It doesn't matter. You can give him 35, 40 minutes a night. It doesn't matter. Winning and losing makes no difference. So let him become the better player. Now, the negative last night is Nil Akina got hurt. So if we get an update on him this morning, we'll certainly let you know. And he's hot and cold. There's games that you watch him play and say, look, I guess he could be a piece on a pretty good team. And there's games you watch him play that you look at him and say, he really is, he does not have it. But he's still a young player, and I do trust in Fizdale. Only 3 games left. Only 3 weeks left of the Jets and the Giants. You know what's so funny with the Giants? Like, I pine for them, really. Like, I'm just like, I can't wait. I can't wait for it to get here. I'm excited. I'm anxious. I'm nervous. The season's over like 4 weeks in. And then when it ends, you're sad. This is almost like an unhealthy relationship. Like, the Giants are not a very good team. And granted, they played well lately. And the Jets are not a very good team. And yet, when it goes away, you're like, oh, I miss football so much. Why? What would you possibly miss? These teams are, I mean, let's be fair, they're not good football teams. The seasons have been long and arduous and caused more pain and discomfort than anything else. And yet, when it's gone in 3 weeks, we'll be like, when is football back? Right? And by the way, and we got to this a little bit yesterday on Humpty Canty and Rothenberg from 10 to 1, which we are on every Monday through Friday. The officiating in the NFL, and I'm not saying that it makes you take pause and say, you know what, I'm not watching, because you won't do that. But the officiating in the NFL is nothing short of, I mean, it's horrendous. It really is. And now you're at the point where every game you watch, there are calls or no calls or missed calls that just leave you such pause that you shake your head. I mean, think about this. You can almost go to any game you watch and you have multiple calls, which are like, that was a brutal call. You saw it on Thursday. There's a full drive, an entire drive aided by bad officiating for the Chiefs. And then Phillip Rivers runs late in the game down to about the 11, takes a helmet-to-helmet shot. He's a quarterback, and they call nothing. Then they call pass interference on the next play, which was awful. And that's on the heels of the Cowboys game last week, which, I mean, there's a fumble and a clear recovery, but the officials didn't see it. Then there's an offensive pass interference, which is one of the worst you've ever seen. I mean, the officiating in this game is terrible. Odell Beckham, and I'm not blaming that this is why the Giants lost that game, but Odell Beckham is out because he was really, in essence, leg-whipped in that game against the Eagles on the last play, and it was out plain as the nose on your face, and they called nothing. Really. And I know it doesn't make you not want to watch the games, but boy, you know, we talk about the Major League Baseball officiating. Angel Hernandez is terrible. Oh my God. No. What you have today in the NFL is awful. It really is. And I'm not saying it makes it unwatchable, but it makes it difficult. And you know what? Here's what it makes it. It makes it that every time there's a big play, you can't even get excited because you don't even know if there's going to be a flag on the play. Every play. Every single play. And God knows if they get it right. And I don't think they get half of them right. I'm telling you, at least for me, it really takes away from the game. And it doesn't take away to the point that I'm not going to watch, but it takes away to the point that it makes it difficult to enjoy it at the same level. I think that's fair. Andrew in Newark. Andrew, you're on 98.7 ESPN. Good Saturday morning, Andrew.
How you doing today?
Good. What's going on?
I'm good. I just wanted to get your thoughts on the Jets potentially offering Jacksonville a first-round pick this year for Jalen Ramsey, or if there's any other linebacker corner they can go for.
The thing is, you look at the Jets, and I like Jalen Ramsey, but I mean, do you think corner is the number one need that they have right now? I wouldn't think so.
Oh no, not at all. But I mean,
right. They are in a desperate situation for a pass rusher. So I'm going to now take my number one pick, which could be top five, and trade it for a guy who's worthy of a top five pick, but not a position that I really need.
Well, I figure they could pay DeMarcus Lawrence all they want and still get Jalen Ramsey maybe with a trade. You got yourself two great players and a great defense.
And I agree with you. He's a great player, but he's not really someone I desperately need. Like, if I'm going to trade a top five pick, now, not that this trade would ever take place, but you know what? Let me call up the Giants and say, let me get a shot at Beckham. Here's the fourth pick in the draft. Let me get Beckham. More so than I would do that for Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, you're right.
Right. I mean, I don't, and thanks to the call, Andrew, I just don't look at corner with the Jets have invested in it already, and I'm not saying it's a monster strength, but it's certainly not a weakness, and say Jalen Ramsey's the guy that I'd go after. I need a receiver. I need a game-breaking receiver. Now, the Giants, I don't think the Giants, well, maybe they will. Would trade him at all? I know they wouldn't trade him to the Jets. Be interesting, wouldn't it? But I wonder what the Giants fan would think. If the Giants traded Odell Beckham for the sixth pick in the draft, whoever it is, Denver, it doesn't matter. If the Giants fan would be on board with that or be horrified by that. Victor and Carteret. Victor, you're on 98.7.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Good. What's up, Vic?
I just want to comment on last week's Jet game, you know, Sam Darnold's development, how he played in the fourth quarter, brought us back, and it was very, very encouraging to see that. Obviously, when he got hurt in the first quarter and he left, I was like, oh, my God. But it was nice to see him come back. So I'm heading to the game today. So I'm really excited to see how he plays today and how he continues to develop. So I'm very excited.
You should be excited. So are you? So you're going to the game. So you're a good fan. Victor, you're a true fan. I mean, it's not nice outside. It's a Saturday evening game. The Jets have
I'm taking my wife with me, too, so that goes to tell you. I'm taking my wife with me.
All right, let me just tell you.
Like the rain.
Let me give you a word of advice. Don't ever let this woman go away. Don't ever let her get away. If she says to you, listen, Victor, I'm annoyed that you didn't, whatever, fill in the blank, do it. Because she's going to a Jet. She is going to a Jets-Texans game with you on a Saturday night in the rain. And it means absolutely nothing for the Jets. That woman is a saint.
I got to figure out how to keep her hair from getting wet, and umbrellas are not allowed in there, so I'm working on that right now. So.
Well, give her one of those wraps that go over the head.
Well, she does that every Sunday when she does her hair and before she goes to bed. So, you know, she does the wraparound thing.
All right, so there you go.
So we'll figure it out, man.
You'll figure that out. That's the least of your concerns, and I appreciate the phone call. Enjoy the game today.
All right, thanks, man. Take care.
800-919-3776. God bless him. I mean, it's fans like that. And I saw Darren Revell had a tweet yesterday that I guess there are, I forget how many, 400 on StubHub tickets that are $10 or less for the Jets game today. I mean, if you go to the Jets game today, you're a Jets fan. Like you love the Jets. Because today is a difficult game to get up and go to, I would think. Chris in South Brunswick. Chris, you're on 98.7.
Thanks for taking my call. I think the worst thing that the Jets can do with all that cap money is to spend it all. I think they have to be very smart in their acquisitions, and I think they have to approach next year, the free agent market, that they don't really have to spend all that money.
You don't have to spend it all, but you have to go make some splash moves in free agency.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you have to. Right? Could you imagine if the Jets signed, like, you know, a decent linebacker and a defensive end and a right guard, the Jets fan, and rightfully so, would be through the roof. Why? I mean, you have the money, you have the young quarterback, you've coming off a terrible season, you better spend some money and make this team considerably better.
Yeah, but like if they get somebody like an Olivier Vernon and then, you know, they spend all that money and really don't get the return, I think that's a big mistake.
Well, like Olivier Vernon when the Giants brought him in, or like current Olivier Vernon? Yeah, I agree with you. If your big splash is present-day Olivier Vernon, then you failed. But I got to be in on Lev Bell. I got to be in on DeMarcus Lawrence. I got every big-time young player that has big upside, I got to be in on that.
Le'Veon Bell, I think, would be a mistake.
Why?
Because he's older and, well,
he's not old. He's 26, coming off a year off.
Well, you know, I mean,
well, but why is he a mistake? I'm listening.
What happens if he gets hurt?
What happens if anybody gets hurt?
All that money.
So what happens if anybody gets hurt?
Right. So that's what I'm saying. I'm saying be very smart.
So don't spend money in the fear that someone could get hurt.
I would say don't overspend. Don't get caught up in the hype of this player and that player, and just be very, very smart in acquisitions and you know, possibly more up-and-coming players versus...
Chris, is that the way? First of all, up-and-coming players are not really typically free agents. You usually have guys that are, you know, good players that are hitting free agency, right?
Right.
You're going to get a lot of money. Do you frequently get great deals in free agency?
I mean, I would just hate to see them spend all that money, and then we're in the same spot we were next year talking about the same thing and how we're going to clear cap space and how we're going
to
do this.
You're right. If you spend all that money, and then we're in the same position that we were in last year, then what you've done, if you're Mike Maccagnan, has spent the money poorly, and you probably shouldn't be employed by the Jets much longer. And I appreciate the phone call. But if you spend the money, and you spend it wisely, then yeah, you know what happens all of a sudden? You're a competitive football team. And that's the truth. That's what it can be, and that's what it should be if you're the Jets. Like, you're not far away. I know you look at it now and you're like, God, Dave, we stink, but you're not that far away. I mean, you bring in DeMarcus Lawrence, you draft an edge rusher, all of a sudden that's fixed. You bring in a Lev Bell, you bring in a decent receiver, you keep Quincy Enunwa, your quarterback takes that next step, you're not that far away. And that's the nice thing about having the young quarterback. Look at the teams that build around the young quarterback. Look at what the Eagles have done. Look at what the Rams have done. And I'm not saying the Jets are on the verge of winning a Super Bowl, but you never know. I mean, these things happen quickly now. And the advantage is you pay the quarterback nothing, so you can spend a lot of money on a lot of different spots.
It's time for a frenzy. A football frenzy. Any team, any player, any question. Call now at 800-919-3776 or tweet at Rothenberg ESPN, hashtag football frenzy, and ask us your NFL questions.
That's right. It's frenzy time in the football frenzy, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle. Also brought to you by Jaguar of Huntington. How about that? The frenzy has become so incredibly popular that it has not one, but two sponsors. If you're new, what's this frenzy? I'm intrigued, but explain it to me. It's Rapid Fire NFL. You have any question, you ask it. I answer it. We move on. Thus, the Rapid Fire. We'll go Brian. We'll go tweets as well. At Rothenberg ESPN at 800-919-3776. Mish, what's the one thing you don't do? You don't get into a lot of conversation. Hey, Dan, love the show. But right, because Michelle has, and she, I'll let you in on a little secret. She loves to hammer home that buzzer. It's a little off-putting how much she loves that buzzer. Right? Just at any time, she could buzz. All right, I get it. You'll love it. Here we go. 800-919-3776. Brian? Would you like to start the frenzy?
Sure. Which team has been the biggest surprise this season?
I think the Bears. The Bears have been a tremendous surprise. I mean, I thought they'd be decent. In fact, I remember going over the Giants' schedule with people when the schedules came out last April, and the conversation was, well, the start of the schedule is brutal, but then the Giants have teams like the Bears in the second half, which will be very winnable games. Now, they did happen to win it, but Chicago's had a really, really good season. I think they're poised for making some noise in the postseason as well. All right, let's go to Noel. Jersey, you're on the frenzy, Noel.
Does Le'Veon Bell, is he a good fit for the Jets, yes or no, and why?
Le'Veon Bell's a great fit for the Jets. Le'Veon Bell's a great fit for any team. Let's see. He's 26. He's the most complete running back in the NFL, and he'll have a year where he's taking no punishment on his body. What would lead anyone to believe that he's not a good fit for anywhere? He can catch 80 passes. He can run through you. He can run around you. He's a good short yardage runner. He can pick up the blitz. He's good anywhere he goes. Mitch East Windsor, you're on the frenzy, Mitch.
Dave, I say Harper signs with the Dodgers, play center field. Him and Trout play center field for the LA teams, like back in the 50s when you had Duke Snyder, Willie Mays, and Mickey Mantle.
Possible. I don't know why you're going baseball when we're doing the football frenzy, but it certainly is possible. And Mish, for someone that loves the buzzer so much, come on. Chris and Brooklyn.
I know.
Chris.
I was like listening, and I was like, I'm really confused. And I like Mitch.
Well, yeah,
Mitch.
You were confused because he was asking a baseball question.
I know he's asking a baseball. I know, and I'm like, why is he doing this? But I was like, I like Mitch, so.
You have to be, you know, like cold-blooded. You can't look at a caller and say, I like him if he's coming with what we're not discussing. You're better than that, Michelle. Chris in Brooklyn, you're better than that. Chris in Brooklyn, you're on the frenzy. Get us back on track, Chris.
Hi. Fantasy playoffs, Deshaun Watson or Lamar Jackson?
Boy, I think I'd go, Lamar Jackson. I think I would. I'd go Jackson. Fran in Massapequa, you're up, Fran.
Dave, you stole my thunder with the Bears. So listen, my question was, can my favorite team, the Chicago Bears, with when they play Green Bay, can we sack the pack and win the division and get in the playoffs? Or will Mitchell Trubisky be our downfall? I think he's 50-50 on whether he's going to make it. Dave, love you.
All right. No, I think he'll win that game. You better win that game. You're home against a team that is really pretty much on the outs. And they've done a really nice job coaching Mitch Trubisky. So you give him credit for that, because I don't think he's all that good, but they've gotten a lot out of him. That offense they run around him is really, really effective. All right, let's go DJ East Orange. DJ, you're on the Frenzy. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just curious to know, who would you take, LeBron or Jordan? Like, who would you take?
Oh, for God's sake. Thank you, Michelle. For God's sakes. Robbie, Long Island. Robbie, go ahead.
Fantasy football semifinals. I'm between this kid, Hamilton, in Denver, or Josh Reynolds.
I go Hamilton. He's got big upside, and they have a pretty good matchup today against the Cleveland Browns, and he had a good week last week. Justice in New Jersey. You're up, Justice.
Got a fantasy question. I got two spots, three receivers. I got Josh Gordon, I got T.Y. Hilton, and I got, I'm missing my last one.
That's great.
But give me out of those two, who you got?
If Hilton plays, it's Hilton. I mean, I don't promote you guys calling with fantasy questions to begin with. If you're going to call with them, you at least maybe could have the players ready to bring to my attention. Larry in Spring Lake. You're up, Larry.
Hey, who do you think the best pound-for-pound running back in the league is?
Ezekiel Elliott. But it's close, because Gurley's up there, and you know what? Saquon Barkley is not far off. Cliff in Astoria. How about it, Cliff?
Fantasy question. Andrew Luck or Russell Wilson?
Russell Wilson. I like Luck, but I don't know about that Cowboys defense. Gives me pause. Kevin in Rockland. How about it, Kev?
Fantasy playoff. Sony Michel against Pittsburgh or Aaron Jones against Chicago?
Michelle, without a doubt. All right, Mish, you're letting questions go by that shouldn't. Would you like to participate?
It was only one.
Yeah, but you know what? It rings true. Like, yeah. I can't get past that one.
Oh my gosh!
You know me. I'm very fickle. So would you like to ask a question?
Yes, I'm actually going to do the opposite of what Brian said and ask which team is the most disappointing to you this season.
That. The flip side, the most disappointing team. Green Bay has been incredibly disappointing this season. Yeah, I go with the Packers, because, come on, everyone thought. And Minnesota's not far behind. Jeremy in Rutherford. Jeremy, you're on the Frenzy.
Hey, is any running back from the San Francisco 49ers viable in fantasy this week?
If Breida plays, it would give me pause. But if he doesn't, I think Wilson is a guy that you can go ahead and play. Tony Westchester, how about it, Tony?
Hi, Giants or Jets, who wins Super Bowl first?
I'm always going to say the Giants, but I don't think either of those teams are anywhere near it. 800-919-3776. Let's go to some Twitter questions, shall we? Sean Barnes says, after the game Thursday, are the Chargers the most complete team in the AFC? Yeah, I think it's fair to say that they are. I also think it's fair to say that I don't trust them at all. And I don't know why. I don't think, and I know he's had a good record in the time he's been here, I don't think I trust Anthony Lynn. And in a big moment, Phillip Rivers has never led his team there, and I don't know that he'll be able to this year. Michael Williamson, I'm 38. Can the Jets turn this crap around before I turn 50? Yes. I told you, you have a good offseason, and you'll be talking about a playoff team next year. Adam in Wayne. Adam, you're on the Frenzy.
Yeah, I'm going for fantasy playoffs. Dak Prescott or Tom Brady?
Tom Brady. That should, I mean, the question is preposterous. Nick Long Island, you're on the Frenzy, Nick.
Too much fantasy.
I agree. Get us away from fantasy. So,
please tell me your playoff prediction teams and give me some noise. What's going to happen? Any upsets?
There's always going to be some kind of an upset. I mean, before I could sit here and tell you the playoff predictions, I got to know who's going to be where, but your safest pick now is probably New England, because they're going to probably wind up with a 2 seed. Which means that they'll have a home game, and do I like their chances to go into Kansas City and win that game? Or L.A. and win that game? Yeah, probably so. So I think the safest in the AFC is New England, as you could pretty much say every single year. I like the Rams. I know everyone loves New Orleans if they have home field. I like the Rams. I you know, they gave New Orleans all they could handle. I've seen some flaws with the Saints recently. I think the Rams are the team to beat in the NFC right now, home field or not. Joe and Freehold. Joe, you're on the Frenzy.
Hey, what's going on? Do the Eagles.
Yeah. You know, it's good. It's about time, Michelle, that you really have your finger on the pulse of things. How's it going? What's going on? Big fan of the show. We work away from that when it comes to the Frenzy. So, Mike in Long Island. If you can actually ask a good, solid question, we can put a bow on this frenzy.
Where do you think Jamal Adams ranks amongst best safeties in the NFL?
I think he's probably in that second tier. He's going to be very, very good. I would say he's a top 10 safety right now, and I think he has the potential to be, you know, much, much better than that. He's good, and he's a leader, and he wants to win, and he cares, and he's good in coverage, and he's good against the run, and he doesn't shy away from contact. He's a good player, and it's only year two of him, so you did well there. I mean, you took him six, so he should be good, but he is good. All right, Football Frenzy was brought to you by Jaguar of Huntington. Drive off in style at Jaguar Huntington during the Unwrap a Jaguar sales event with very enticing offers and complimentary schedule maintenance for 5 years or 60,000 miles. Treat yourself at Jaguar Huntington, 1249 East Jericho Turnpike, jaguarhuntington.com. Also, the frenzy was brought to you by Mercedes-Benz in New Rochelle, the Mercedes-Benz winter event going on right now at Mercedes-Benz in New Rochelle. Stop in or visit them online at mbnewrochelle.com. Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle, a proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, driven to perfection since way back in 1968.
He's pompous.
Listen, shut up, and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply-faced, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question, and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
All right, you can try. We'll see if you're successful. 800-919-3776. Stump Rothenberg, brought to you by the fine people at Jaguar Glen Cove. 800-919-3776. Everyone plays. Brian plays, and Michelle plays, and you play. All right, Brian, would you like to start?
Actually, let Michelle start.
Oh, all right. I like you're going to defer. Michelle, would you like to start?
Sure.
Okay. What genre is your question going to be?
Actually, it's more along the lines of history and laws.
History and laws, okay.
So, what drupaceous fruit were Hawaiian women once forbidden to eat?
What fruit?
Drupaceous.
What? I don't even know what that means.
Like you know, droop? You know the word droop?
Droop, yes.
So, drupaceous.
I don't like this question already. But so, drupaceous fruit?
Yeah.
So what's the question?
Okay, so I'll just say what fruit then. It's a drupaceous fruit, but what fruit were Hawaiian women once forbidden to eat by law?
I don't like this question.
The pineapple.
I mean, you're kind of sort of close.
I'm sort of close. I got to be honest. This question is a bootaceous fruit or whatever the word is. What
drupaceous.
Drupaceous. I mean, you're making up words. What's
I'm not making up a word. You want me to spell it for you?
No, I don't want to know. I want to know the answer.
It's a coconut.
The coconut. Oh, you know, Brian, I called on you for a reason.
Oh, boy.
Because I knew you could call out Stump Rothenberg on a decent question. She's asking me about drupaceous fruits.
I was going to ask you a history question, but
well, anything would have been better than that.
I don't know. Drupaceous. What? I don't know.
Brian, would you? I'm going to let you be kind of the arbiter today. Would you agree that was a horrendous question?
That was a very difficult question. I didn't know what Mish was saying.
Good or not? Would you not agree it was a horrendous question?
It's not a good question.
A droop is a stone fruit. A drupaceous. Like Google
Mish.
It.
Mish, my will reads like this: my wife, my kids, and then you. You're going way down the list now. That was a horrendous question. Rex in Brooklyn, you can't be worse than that start, Rex.
No, I think it'll be a little better. Yeah, and it's a football team question.
All right.
Yeah, you know, the Bears are playing the Packers this week, I think, right?
Okay.
Or something, yeah, so it's a Bears-Packers
The Bears question. Are playing the Packers this week, correct.
Yeah, so it's a Bears-Packers question. It's like All a right. two-part question. So you go like,
okay.
First, there was a game back in 95. The Bears played the Packers.
Right.
And the Bears' offensive line was really good. I mean, in fact, in the third quarter of that game, they got called for a holding penalty. You know, Big Cat Williams got called for a holding penalty in that
All
game,
right.
mid-third quarter. Now, the question is, how many games did the Bears' O-line go before that holding penalty without a holding penalty?
All right. I mean, another terrific question. I'll say six.
No, it was actually 17.
And there you go. We're starting out with drupaceous fruits, and last time a team committed a holding penalty. All right, Robert in Manhattan, you got to be better, Robert. I mean, because the Stump Rothenberg segment is completely falling apart, and if not for you, it could go away.
Well, that's a kindness. This is a movie question. Who was the villain in the very first Batman movie?
Was it Jack Nicholson?
No. The first Batman movie was in 1943.
Oh, for God's sake.
It was a Columbia Films 15-chapter cliffhanger serial. The villain was played by J. Carroll Nash, radio and TV actor. His name was Prince Tito Daka, super Japanese master spy.
All right, Rob. Brian?
He lost me.
You're killing me.
He lost me.
You're killing me. I mean, this is a well-funded, wonderful segment that between Mish and the offensive lines and Dr. Tito,
it was a very
whatever,
long question. He lost me. I was like, I don't know where you're going with this.
You are killing me here.
Can I ask a question? Are you?
Is it going to be a terrible question?
It's a history question. You probably learned this in grammar school.
Go ahead.
Which event did U.S. President FDR call a day that would live in infamy?
Was it December 7, 1941?
Mm-hmm. What's it called?
Pearl Harbor Day?
Yeah, the attack on Pearl Harbor, correct. Yeah.
All right, well, that was it wasn't a great question. It was better than the Drupacious Fruit.
Well, you should know that.
Well, I did know it. John in Springfield. John, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
What's going on, Dave?
You're not going to kill me with some inane question, are you?
I got a good one for you, Dave. So the Patriots are 9-3 right now.
Okay.
That is their worst start.
No, they're not 9-3. They're 9-4.
Well, correct. All right. Through 12 games, they were 9-3. That would be tied for their worst 12-game start since what year?
2002.
Incorrect.
What is it?
Brady's first year off the torn ACL in 2010, they started 8-4.
Okay. All right, Spike, and I mean, maybe we'll take a sabbatical next week because I feel like the line of questionings is just terrible. I mean, people are you better than this, Spike? You're usually pretty good. You got something decent?
Yes, I do. According to the latest census, the 10 countries in the world comprise 60% of the population. Of the 10, I want the bottom five. I want four of the bottom five.
Pakistan's probably there.
Correct.
Nigeria?
Correct.
Japan?
No. Got one more shot.
Is Russia there?
Correct.
So that's a winner?
One more. There's two left.
Trying to think. So the most populated have to be China, India, U.S.
Right.
Is Brazil there?
Brazil's five. Indonesia's four. You're missing two. You're missing 8 and 10.
I'm missing 8 and 10.
Yeah, I was surprised by these two.
Is Bangladesh there?
Bangladesh is it. You got it.
And what's 10?
Mexico.
All right. That's a decent question, guys. The mischief thing. Everyone can kind of get involved. Not the Drupacious Fruits.
Which, by the way, I sent you an example of what drupacious means.
If you don't know it, then it's not okay. And when you saw the word drupacious, when you look today, you're like, oh, what the hell does that mean? Brian, you've screened these callers. Who do you think would have a good question of the people on the line right now?
This is tough. I think Fran in Massapequa will have
All right, let's go to Fran in Massapequa. Fran, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Yes. Dave, good morning.
Good morning.
My question to you is, do you remember the show, What's My Line, the game show?
Vaguely.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a show
that was
back
with the mystery guest. With the mystery guest.
Yeah,
would have the
all
mystery
right.
guest, and they would answer questions. You remember it. How old are you?
I'm 45.
Oh, you got it. Well, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I don't really remember it. Do you have another question? Yeah. You can ask it. I don't know that I'll know it.
All right. Well, yes, I have another question, but you're not going to get it. Then, who was the first mystery guest on that show?
Oh,
sports
my
guy. I'll give you a hint. You know, a hint because you're not going to get it if you never really.
Joe Namath.
That's a pretty good guess, Phil Rizzuto.
All right,
Mike.
No, you cut him off. Of course you did. All right, let's go to Harry in Brooklyn. Harry, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Mr. Rothenberg, I got a
Mr. Rothenberg, I got a good one for you. The 1969 Mets.
Okay.
On the active roster, who's the only player that had postseason experience when they went into the World Series? This is a good question.
It's not a bad question. So you're not going to give me Gil Hodges, right? Because we're looking for a player.
I'm looking for a player. That's the coach. That's the manager. The only player on the roster that had postseason experience. Now, if you remember, 69 is the first year they went to playoffs.
Yeah, the first year they went to a CS.
So it would have to be a guy that appeared in the World Series.
Yeah, no, it's not a bad question. That was such a young baseball team, too. Ed Charles?
Negative.
What's the answer?
The answer is Dr. Ron Taylor, a relief pitcher. He pitched for the Cardinals against the Yankees.
All right. All right, so there you go. I mean, Brian, I mean, it's on you, because when Ty screens the calls, we get some better questions.
This is not on me.
I think it's on
you. They said that they called to the show before, and now all of a sudden they're coming up with these questions.
I think it
started with Misha's first question that you were, like, so thrown off that it just threw off.
I mean, Drupacious
fruit exists.
Michelle, it was a terrible question.
I'm just going to say I just dropped knowledge on you today. You didn't even know what Drupacious fruit was before me.
I feel embarrassed. Like, you should be grounded. I don't want to get into, like, what goes on behind the scenes, but you should probably be grounded. All right, if this doesn't get better, we're not doing it next week. We're going to do this for 3 more minutes. If it doesn't get better, we're taking
that's
the week
strong.
Off. Well, because I'm annoyed. Because you guys are better. The listeners are better. Drupacious is better. That's my new nickname for you, by the way, Michelle. Jim in Sayville. Jim, you're on Stump Rothenberg. You can save Stump Rothenberg, Jim.
Hi, Dave. It's been 5 years since an Eastern Conference player not named LeBron James made the All-NBA first team. Who broke the streak?
So this is over 5 years ago?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
And, Dave, when I tell you, you'll never believe it.
It's somebody that's not overly impressive, huh?
No.
So the all-NBA first team outside of LeBron, the last one to do it was... I have no idea. I don't know.
Joakim Noah.
Oh, God. Hey, don't get me started with Joakim Noah. You
got that right? That was a good question.
It's okay. Don't get me started with Joakim Noah. Really, I am. The more I think about that story, the more annoyed. I want to spend a couple minutes on Joakim Noah in a couple of moments. Mike in Farmingdale. We'll see if you can save it, Mike.
What's up, Dave? All right.
Is this good?
I think so, but today's been rough, dude.
Because the questions are horrendous.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a good question.
All right.
Which actress has the most Oscar wins?
I'd like to say Meryl Streep, but that's too easy.
It's Catherine too easy, Hepburn. And you are correct, sir. Yeah.
So that's a better question. At least it makes you think about things you have knowledge about. Drupacious fruits is such a terrible question.
No, it's not.
So terrible.
You got educated.
Should we
get educated,
Brian,
on
should we be
fruit.
Done on Catherine Hepburn, the great Catherine Hepburn, or should we take one more?
Take one more.
All right, this is on you now. Eric in Huntington. Eric, you're on Stump Rothman.
Okay. Dave, I have a general baseball question for you.
General baseball.
How can a pitcher pitch a perfect game and nobody's batting average on the opposing team changes?
First game of the season.
Wow, that was quick.
That's what I do, Eric. Because when the questions are respectable, I knocked him out of the park immediately. So we end on a high note. I think Eric and Jim might have just saved Stump Rothenberg. 800-919-3776. God knows that Michelle and Brian did nothing to save the segment. I mean, really, the segment was choking on a piece of steak, Michelle, and you walked over the limp body right into the restroom.
No, I did not.
Right over.
I'm telling you, I educated you today.
You were eating a Mackinac peach while you walked over the rotting corpse of Stump Rothenberg.
You can teach your kids today what drupacious fruit are.
Not a great mood at this point. I mean, I'll raise the level of my game because that's what we do here on the station. But that Stump Rothenberg left such a sour taste in my mouth. And I think the listening public as well. I'll tell you why. after I tell you this portion of the Dave Rothenberg Show, 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by the New Jersey Lottery. This week just got more exciting. New Jersey Lottery. Mega Millions and Powerball jackpots are both over $245 million. So play today because anything can happen in Jersey. I got people texting me saying that Michelle really ruined the Stump Rothenberg segment with her drupacious question there. I'm getting tweets. Dirty Jers says, worst Stump Rothenberg ever. I wait all week for this terrible Dylan Driscoll, Michelle ruined Stump Rothenberg. I mean, Michelle, you really single-handedly took down what is one of the most popular segments in all of radio.
I find that so hilarious, and I'll tell you why. Because no one's going to admit it, but no one knew what drupacious fruit were until I said it today. So you're welcome, everyone that listens to Stump Rothenberg. I just educated you guys.
It's a terrible question. Now, rather than be the bigger person and say, you know what, I'm sorry. It wasn't a good question. I should be better. I know that. I'll be better going forward. You're very defensive.
I'm not defensive. I think my question was good. I got Brian back here saying drupacious, saying he's going to ask his wife when he gets home if she knows what it means because he's going to educate her.
Nobody knows what it means.
I just told you what it meant.
Nobody cares.
It's a fruit that resembles a droop.
You should ask RJ Bell if he knows what drupacious is.
He's not going to know. He'll give me the, I'll give him the over under on if he can get it right or not. That'll get him moving here. All right, let's get into this Joakim Noah story. So he's on the Chris Vernon show, which I guess is afternoon drive down in Memphis. And he was asked about, you know, a lot of things, you know, new acquisition by Memphis and the energy that he brings to the table. And then he was asked about his time here with the Knicks. I don't think it was one thing. I think it was a lot of things. I'm not here to blame anybody or say it's anybody's fault. It just didn't work out. I could look back on it and say, I thought I was ready for New York City, and I just wasn't, and it's something that I have to go live with. He said, well, first of all, the guy's from New York City. He's a grizzled veteran. The call it or in Stump Rothenberg, one of the decent questions was actually that Joakim Noah was a all-NBA player. He went all 4 years of college. Like, this is a guy that you figured it would not be too much for. And the more I think about this, the more it angers me. So he says, it wasn't just the pressure. I remember after the first game, I probably had like 60 people in my house. I'm too lit. I'm too lit to play in New York City. He's laughing as he says this. I'm too lit to play in New York City. Memphis is the perfect spot for me. I mean, Are you kidding me? This is a guy that was born and bred in New York City, went to high school in New York City, went 4 years, won two championships at Florida, goes to Chicago and is a terrific player. He comes to New York. I mean, this is pathetic. You wonder, and you know what this is pathetic on? This is Phil Jackson. And I say to Rick and Chris all the time, and you can listen to our show Monday through Friday, 10 to 1. About, you know, guys will fail here in New York and then go on to other places, and I root against them. And they'll say, what's the matter with you? You know what? Joakim Noah, how could you be a Knicks fan and watch him trot out onto the court and have anything but absolute disdain for him when he takes the court? New York is too, it's too lit for him. So he's 30 years old. And can't handle the pressures or the familiarity or the party life that New York has to handle after spending the first, 8 years of your career in Chicago? It's not like he came from Nome, Alaska. He wasn't from the drupacious fruit lands of Hawaii. You spent your career in Chicago, and now you come to New York. And it's too much for you? And Phil Jackson. I mean, he should give money back. Because he almost, I mean, what he did here with the Knicks was basically stole money from the organization and from Dolan. You know, I'm a little disappointed in you, to be honest.
Uh-oh.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I should bring this up, but I'm going to. We'll get to the Giants and
somehow I don't think you're going to hold back.
In Tennessee in just a moment. You were going on and on about your big dinner with Michael Kay, and you were excited, and you were going to pay, and what you were going to take him to a five-star restaurant. He comes out to Vegas. You forgot he was coming?
I did. You know, there's just, I don't know if you know this, but there's a lot going on. And I'm a big fan of Michael Kay, of your station. It's just, I forgot. And listen, Michael could have reached out.
He could have. But I mean, really, he's the stranger. Like, I could see him walking the streets of Vegas, like, where am I? What do I do? And a helping hand might have been very nice.
Listen, and I say this with all due respect. I know he's a big thing in New York City. And to me, New York's the best town in the country. Vegas is second. I genuinely believe that. But nationally, maybe he should have been reaching out to me, you know?
Now, if I were to come into Vegas, you would absolutely demand we get together.
Well, I think you'd be blowing up my phone, so what choice would I have?
Oh, really? Really? How about that? How about you and I come up with a little friendly wager this week?
Ooh.
We pick a game, or we can each kind of pick our own game, and not a monetary wager. We'll think of another fun, creative way, and we'll do that.
Okay, I'm up for it.
You're up for it. I'll have to think of what it is, and I'll think of it in just a moment. And then we'll bring it to air, and we'll let everyone know. If you have any ideas or suggestions, you can tweet at Roth.
Or listen,
ESPN.
Yeah? Over the next couple weeks, inevitably, we're going to have a disagreement. So let's maybe let it happen organically.
But what do you mean? I'm confused by this.
Oh, no. I'm saying you're saying, hey, let's figure out a fun wager to do between you and me.
Right.
And I'm saying at some point that's going to naturally happen. Why force it? Why shoehorn it?
What, you think that we're going to just come up with a great consequence for the loser of our wager?
Well, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. What wait? Do we have an existing wager?
No, we don't have anything.
Exactly.
We have to think of the payment for the loser to the winner.
But we don't even have the bet yet.
Well, we'll pick a game today, and then the loser will have to pay off.
We're just going
to
randomly pick a game. Okay.
Randomly. You're going to pick your game of the week, or we'll figure out a game, and we'll go head-to-head, and then the loser will have to do something for the winner.
All right. Listen, these things happen naturally, Dave. I know you want to get in on all this, but just let it happen.
All right. Listen, I'm not the most patient person. let's get to the Giants and the Tennessee Titans. It's a game 1 o'clock tomorrow. So I don't know if you saw this. The guy that tripped Odell Beckham, just got fined. He's out, of course, tomorrow because he's got a contusion on the quad. Was just fined $20,000 for the illegality of the tripping. And I, you remember, RJ, didn't even get called for a penalty, and it was right in front of the official.
Well, listen, that's the thing. When I watch, like, I'm a big Sopranos fan, right? And there's a famous line in one of the late seasons when they go, okay, let's go to the pork store with the dead body. And Silvio goes, no more of that. There's that DNA stuff. So technology keeps changing. You got to wonder. You watch movies and people are doing all this stuff. And it's like there's cameras everywhere now, right? So back, obviously, the NFL, same thing. You got the officials on the field. But, hey, they're going to have an angle that's going to show pretty much everything happening.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, and we got into this on the show yesterday, the officiating in the NFL, it's horrible, RJ.
Do you really think the NFL
I think it's horrible.
Is just trying to save money? I mean, could it be that, like, they're not paying these guys enough to be full-time, right? That's still the case, isn't it?
I think so. They might have changed that, though. They might have just hired them full-time this offseason. I'll have to look into that.
But the fact that even a year ago, let's say, that they didn't, they were schooled, like, teaching school and whatnot, like, how does that make any sense?
It makes no sense. But, I mean, yeah, they have 24 full-time officials this year.
And this was the first year?
This is the first year that they've done it.
So yeah,
literally
remember,
Ed Hockley, Mr. Muscles, was an attorney Monday through Friday.
That's what I don't understand. These people, I mean, Ed Hockley was what, one of the 300 most famous people in sports, maybe?
Yeah, possibly.
And he was working a straight job.
It's unbelievable. It really is unbelievable. But I just think it gets worse and worse and worse. All right, let's get back to what your specialty is. We got a lot to do. Giants, Titans tomorrow. Giants are giving 2. I got to tell you, I'm pretty in line with this team. I think that the Tennessee's better. I think the Giants are going to have big trouble stopping Mariota. They don't have, if not their best weapon, their second best weapon. And I'm getting 2 points. I like Tennessee in this game.
Yeah, and the line move says the same thing. By the way, just to wrap it up, today Western Michigan is like a 20-plus point favorite against, or Michigan's a favorite over Western Michigan, and the money line is about 40-1. So Buster Douglas winning is about the same as Western Michigan beating Michigan today in Michigan. So it gives you, so that's going to happen now and again, but because there's going to be hundreds of these games over a year where there's a huge favor. But the idea of a marquee event like that at 42-1, I've never seen it. So I think that's historic.
Now get into the Giants and the
Titans. The line right now actually has the Titans favored. And at a certain point, a small favor. At a certain point,
so the fact that I have the Titans plus two is terrific, huh?
For sure. And in the Super Contest, the Titans are like I think even plus 2.5 because the line was moving to 3. And I think this is an example of recency bias. What did everyone see? Well, they saw the Giants lead 40-0. How often do you see that? And then they also, especially New York fans, there's many, many of them, wait a minute, we've won, what, 4 out of 5?
Yeah, Giants are 4-1 in their last 5.
Now, imagine if the season had started 5 games ago.
And even the 5th game, RJ, against the Eagles, where Eagles, they lost, they still covered in that one.
I mean, would we, if, let me ask you a question. ESPN Power Ratings, after week 5, if the Giants are 4-1, Giants are what, 3rd in the ESPN Power Rankings?
No.
Really?
No. I mean, I'd say top 10, but not 3rd.
Is there 4? How many teams are going to be 4? I mean, see, that's the thing you forget. I've never seen a team that starts 4-1 that isn't highly ranked. Like, think about Tampa Bay when they started 2-0 this year. Everyone's like, oh my, because every year there's teams like the Rams 2 years ago that had what, 3 wins the year before. They were expected to have 7.5 last year, and then they start out red hot, and everyone's like, oh, see how good the Rams are. So I think if the Giants – remember, Giants were on the cusp of the playoffs based upon Vegas's projections. Like the season win total was between about 8.5.
Which was ridiculous, which we said on our show was ridiculous.
Yeah, but you guys are pessimists, right?
I think we're very optimistic trio. We like to see the good in everybody. We love you.
Well, I had to win Canty over. It took a while.
He still doesn't care for you all that much.
No, he does. I can tell. You know what it is with Canty? He knows oftentimes the intelligentsia isn't necessarily going to be on his show, someone that's thinking at my level. So he was a little put off, the physical versus the mental initially, right? And then once he saw I accepted him for who he was, he embraced me back.
It's almost like a David versus Goliath battle on the show every week.
Well, if we were fighting physically, it would be, yes. What is he, 6'7"?
No, he's the biggest human being you've ever seen in your life. He's like 6'8", 320.
And imagine like Colt McCoy. You know, like some of these quarterbacks are 6'1". They're not that big.
Yeah, no, I know. That guy, Eli Manning in person. Eli Manning is skinny in person.
That guy gets to chase you all day. And then you think Tom Brady has only been hurt one time, you know, seriously, in his career.
Yeah.
It's almost incomprehensible.
Well, how about the fact that Eli's never missed a game for injury?
Yeah, and Peyton only missed, you know, like that seems to be genetic, right? Because except for his neck,
right,
he didn't miss a game.
Right, yeah, it's unbelievable the health of some of these guys. All right, so you like Tennessee? Is that what the overriding?
I think the value's gone right now. But I think everyone got so excited about the Giants and OBJ. And I do wonder, I know you guys poo-pooed this. You got to wonder how well the Giants played last week. Is OBJ obviously a value add on the field? The question is he a negative in the long? Is he a distraction otherwise? And is there a sense of almost like, oh, okay, we can relax and play football when he's out?
Yeah, but you say that, but here's the thing. I think he's a distraction consistently. I think if he's playing, he's a distraction. I think if he's not playing, he's a distraction. He has a Facebook Live show that he does where he comes out and discusses all his injuries when the coach has said, please don't come out and say anything about your injuries. Like, I just think that he does a lot of things that the franchise does not appreciate.
Let me ask you a question. You have a bunch of 20-something fans, and you guys take calls, you got emails, you're on Twitter, you do a great job connecting with the fan.
Right.
Would you? I'm in my mid-40s. You're...
Same.
I look at this and say, and as a Steelers fan, I love Brown, the wide receiver.
Antonio Brown, right?
Yeah, I love his work ethic. He was a sixth-round pick, but when he's streaming stuff, I just shake my head. I'm like, oh, man, I can't imagine. You know, I can't imagine Hines Ward doing that is the way I think, right? Do the 20-somethings look at OBJ and say, hey, this is the way it is now, man. We like it? Or is there some of that, oh, I want my football players old school?
I think there's a combination of both. I think you have a lot of 20-somethings that just say, this is how it is. He's great. He's a star. He's bigger than the game. I mean, my kids, now they're younger. They're not even in that demographic. They love him. He could do anything off the field, and they talk about the three-finger catch and, you know, all that stuff. So, and then I think there are people in their 40s who love him and say he's the greatest thing they've ever seen. I think there are people in their 20s who are frustrated by him. So you never know. Yeah, I agree with you. I think probably the younger demographic appreciates him more, and the older one is frustrated by him more. But you never know who's going to really appreciate him and who's going to be frustrated by
him. So you're saying, Dave, we're like the guy, the parents that were shaking their head of Elvis on Ed Sullivan.
Oh, terrible. Yeah, how he could shake his hips like that is just, you know, unquestioned.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.